Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Just before I came on air, I was reviewing a passage in Hebrews chapter 1, which is one of the great and glorious passages in the whole of Scripture underscoring the deity of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe itself. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. The Son is the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had been purified for sins, He had provided purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, and so He became as much superior to the angels as the name He had inherited is superior to theirs. And then these majestic words, but about the Son, God says, your throne, O God. In other words, God Himself calls Jesus God. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness, you have hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. In other words, Jesus is the creator of all things, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, but you remain the same. Your years will never end. The Jesus who we worship is not only the one who came in flesh, but the one who will come again in flesh. He is the ruler of all things. He is our Redeemer, the Creator, and the soon coming King. We are so delighted to have many resources available to prepare, equip you, to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up today, Richard in California. Hi, Richard.
Yeah, Hank, I was raised in a denomination that spent a lot of time on finances, and they were real hard on tithing, and to the point that they did the Malachi 3 about robbing God, and of course, if you rob God, you're a thief, and therefore you wouldn't be saved. And in my own personal study, I found that that the dispensational cutoff from the Old Testament to the New Testament is the cross, not Matthew 1, basically. And so basically where I'm coming from is I feel like I found that tithing is mandatory tithing anyway, is an old covenant teaching, not a new covenant teaching, and therefore we shouldn't be teaching it to the new covenant church. And what I'd like to know is where you would come down on that.
Well, I don't think there is a cutoff. I don't think that the covenants are different. in the sense that they're the same covenant. The old covenant is given through types and shadows. The new covenant is said to be better than the old covenant because the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. But as far as tithing is concerned, I think it's a universal principle. We tithe, says Moses, so that we may learn to revere the Lord our God always. Now, certainly, I think that the whole idea behind tithing is to teach us that we can be better served if we lean upon the arm of God as opposed to leaning upon the arm of flesh. So I think that if we look at tithing as something that our salvation hinges on, I think that we're looking at it improperly. The real issue is, do you really trust God or do you just say you trust God? If you really trust God, then you'll probably be a whole lot more like the war generation who knew what it was to exercise Christian stewardship. In other words, they'd gone far beyond tithing to understanding the New Testament concept of free will giving.
The entire book of Galatians, basically Paul was talking to the people about, you know, mixing law and grace, and that, you know, if you mixed law and grace, you had fallen from grace in Galatians chapter 5. And that's where I was coming from. I thought that was, that basically if there's two parts to the law, in other words, there's the moral law and then there's the ordinances of the law. The ordinances of the law are the less important part of the law that was done away with at the cross, but you're saying that that wasn't done away with, we would still have to sacrifice animals, wouldn't we?
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats, and when the substance comes, we don't have to go back to types and shadows. But as far as law is concerned, there are various uses of the law in Scripture. The law is used to maintain order in society. That never changes. The law reveals sin. That never changes. The law is a guide for the believer in living out the Christian life. That never changes. But the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The moral aspects of the law are universal.
Right. The moral law never changes. But the way I was taught, if you can't give anything to God until you paid your 10%, and with that on you, how are you supposed to give what you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity? For God loves a cheerful giver. If you can't give anything until you paid 10%.
Well, again, I think that it is a misunderstanding of what tithing is. Tithing is just the training wheels of giving, as has been well said. So the whole goal is to go beyond tithing. It is a way by which you take a baby step and learn to trust in the providence of God as opposed to trusting in your own resources. And this is precisely, as I said, what happened to the war generation. And there's no telling what might be accomplished in our own generation if we could catch, like they did, the joy of contagious giving. We'd be able to spread the gospel around the globe. It wouldn't be, do I give a net or do I give a gross? It would be the whole idea of propagating his kingdom. We'd be able to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick. And like our forefathers who founded those great centers of Christian education and hospitals and Christian organizations, we might as yet leave an indelible print on our generation. So the whole idea is to get rid of the training wheels and soar into what the New Testament talks about in terms of free will giving. And that is the concept of holding everything that we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit.
So are the training wheels still on in the New Testament? You are expected to maintain right relationship with God. You need to be giving a minimum of 10%.
Well, again, as I pointed out, Moses communicated to the children of Israel, we tithe so that we may learn to revere the Lord our God always. And as we should all know, learning to reverence the name of God is a timeless principle. It's as crucial today as it was in the days of Moses. Not only that, but long before Moses, the Bible records Jacob's promise to God, of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And long after Moses, Jesus reaffirmed the practice of tithing. But again, it was not for outward appearances, but as an outward expression of an inward reality. So I think the real issue is emphasis. The emphasis of learning to give is learning to trust. And that trust, in measure, demonstrates that you genuinely revere the Lord.
Okay, well, thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. For contact information as we go to break, on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, that number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
What do you do when you don't know the answer to a question? Research and return is Hank Hanegraaff's policy when asked a question on the Bible Answer Man that he is unsure of, something we should all practice when we are unsure of an answer. The new 2024 revised and expanded collector's edition of the Complete Bible Answer Book is a testament to the policy of research and return, as each answer has been revisited and meticulously researched to ensure the utmost of biblical and theological accuracy. To receive your copy of Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Expanded, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I would invite many of you to join the Bible Answer Man support team. This makes a big, big difference, so as many of you as possibly can, it would be very much appreciated if you, again, join the Bible Answer Man support team. And as my way of saying thanks, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition to you, to a family member, or to a friend. Back to the phone lines, Jeff in Sundre, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Jeff.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I had a question pertaining to, are all religions the same?
Well, the answer is no. If you look at the various world religions, you'll find out that they are distinctly different. Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, they all directly contradict one another. Moses taught that there was only one God. Krishna believed that there were many gods. Buddha was basically agnostic when it came to God. So logically, they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. And they're certainly very different.
Well, absolutely. And as a long-term atheist, I have a bit of an issue with everybody thinking they know the answers when it just comes down to treating people good, doesn't it? And being a good person.
Well, yes, but on what basis is good good if you're an atheist? I mean, if Madonna is merely a material girl living in a material world, her choices are based on brain chemistry and genetics. There is no real right or wrong.
You don't believe that you've got some sort of conscience, Hank?
Well, I do, but if you're a physicalist, you don't believe in the metaphysical aspect of humanity. I certainly do. An atheist believes that everything can be explained through purely physical processes. And I was simply pointing out that for the atheist who is consistent, what you believe then is fatalistic determinism on the basis of brain chemistry and genetics.
Okay. But I'm not afraid of dying. Like, I feel that I'm just the same as the deer I hit on Sunday and the same as my bird when he passed away, that you just go back into the universe. I'm not afraid of dying. That's the thing. I'm here to live. If I believed in a God or a heaven, wouldn't I want to get there a lot quicker than having to work every day and deal with women? Or I don't get it.
Well, I think the way you get it, though, is simply to look at the universe around you. It demands a supernatural explanation. If you look at the sun, moon, and stars, common sense tells you there has to be a maker. If you see a basketball, you have enough intellectual prowess to recognize that someone made that basketball.
I agree with the maker of the basketball, but this is where I have a problem, is that there's seven different people saying that they all have their own opinion on a maker, and you're saying that you're right and they're wrong.
No, all I'm saying is that follow truth wherever it leads. And what the Bible says...
Well, I'm asking you on the phone today.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is that when you look at the universe, I think the biblical words are correct. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands day after day. They pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. So again, as you look at the universe around you, when you look at irreducible complexity in biological systems, you immediately, intuitively at least, know that there is a God. But that is not just a light that comes from without. There's also a light that comes from within, Jeff. I mean, I think God's knowledge is written on the very canvas of your consciousness. In other words, there's an intuitive internal knowledge that there's a God. And I think if you respond to the light of creation, the light of conscience, it will drive you further to knowing who that God is, because he has condescended not only to reveal himself in general revelation, but also in special revelation, the most prominent of which is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
but it separates us from nature. It puts us as a in God's image human being rather than another part of nature, like that we're better than or different than, when I don't believe we are.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's precisely what it does. It does separate us from the rest of creation. What the Bible teaches in this regard, Jeff, is that we're made in the imago Dei, or the image of God, which is to say that we bear God's communicable attributes like love and will. In philosophical naturalism, there is no such thing. And I think that leads to the untenable notion that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. When you talk about right or wrong, you asked about conscience, but the question becomes, whose conscience? Whose determination of right or wrong? The moment things are subjectively determined, then truth becomes a matter of the size and scope of the latest lobby group, or the person who has the most power. As Christian,
or the person who you're speaking to is religion.
Well, no, because again, I don't think that all religion corresponds to reality. What we're talking about here is that which corresponds to reality, and that is a definition for truth. So I think that if you start with the macro issue, you know that God created the universe because every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. And that the God who created the universe has revealed himself not through blind faith, but rather through faith in evidence. So my faith, Jeff, is not something that's blind faith. I want to believe it because I believe it. It's not a religious conceit. It's something that is driven by following the facts wherever they lead. The facts with respect...
But facts are a hard thing to say in Christianity, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that they are, but you can, with some effort, determine what is true. You can determine that the universe had to have a cause.
No, now, you can't.
Well, do you hold the untenable notion that nothing creates everything? Can you subscribe to the notion, just logically, that nothing could have created everything that you now encounter in the universe in which you reside?
No, I absolutely understand that we're part of something far more complex than my brain can comprehend, and that by going through and picking a religion to say that this is how it is just a little bit of blind faith, and that doesn't get me anywhere in my life. It doesn't fix the problems that I need to solve. That's me. It doesn't solve the budgets that I need to solve. That's me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't be a good father. That's me. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's my actions, not my beliefs, that dictate my life.
Well, it's true that all of the things that you're encountering are things that have some kind of a root, which is to say that we live in a universe that you either have to believe is just a function of blind materialistic processes, or there is a God who orders all things according to his will, a God who is knowable. And I'm saying that that knowable God is not someone that you know through blind faith, but rather someone that you can know through faith and evidence. And you said it's hard, but yeah, I agree with that. But I think with a little effort, you can determine that there is a God, that there, if there's a big bang, there has to be a big banger, is maybe a simple way of putting it. There's nothing else that can explain the complexity that we find in biological systems, for example. There's nothing whatsoever to be able to, you can't even form a protein molecule by random processes in the supposed age of the universe in which you reside. But I think this is something that's really important, and that is, according to modern science, the universe not only had a beginning, but it's unfathomably fine-tuned to support life. And not only that, but the origin of life, or information in the genetic code, or irreducible complexity of biological systems, the phenomena of the human mind, they all pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. So when you talk about the difficulty, there's a difficulty when you embrace philosophical naturalism, just as you correctly point out, there's a difficulty to embrace supernaturalism. In other words, it does take some work. But I was willing to do that work when I was in the exact same position as you are now. I was challenged to look at the evidences for creation. As I've said many times on this show, how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. If you think you're a function of random chance, you're going to live by a different standard than if you know you're created in the image of God. But that God who created the universe is also knowable through the person of work of Jesus Christ. You can demonstrate that the resurrection is not blind faith, but rather faith in irrefutable fact, and that the Bible's divine as opposed to being merely human in origin. I've written about all three of those things in very understandable form, and I'd be happy as my gift to send them to you, Jeff.
No, and I appreciate it very much, and thank you for your time very much, Hank.
Well, thank you for your courtesy. It was very, very nice to speak with you. Hopefully we'll have another opportunity to communicate. For everybody listening in, we have written about the evidences for the historic Christian faith, and I've said many times on the broadcast, we don't believe in blind faith, but faith founded on a refutable fact. God created the universe, Jesus Christ is God, and the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Written about the issue of origins in the Creation Answer book. I've written about the issue of resurrection in my book called Afterlife, and I've written about the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin in a book titled Has God Spoken? All three of those resources can be found on the web at equip.org. Thank you for those that support this ministry prayerfully and financially. Your resources will be used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. A lot of need out there. Please pray and make a difference.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.